As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What it do, baby? It's the Preachers and Sneakers podcast. Today, I'm switching it up a little bit because I'm super excited to roll out my brand new podcast in collaboration with my good buddy, Justice Marimi. He came up with the name. It's called the Hidden Figures Podcast, and it's a podcast about money, how to generate wealth, how to steward that wealth, whatever it may be, and ultimately how to feel good about it. Because when I solicited questions from the Preachers and Sneakers community, a lot of people came up with questions talking about investing, talking about spending, credit card use, comparison to other people in the same life stage, but also questions about guilt, about wanting to make a lot of money and whether or not that's okay to have a desire to crush it in the marketplace and build a bunch of wealth. These are the type of questions that we're going to wrestle with. I've got a ton of guests lined up, including like half of the Ramsey personalities right now. Some of the guys from Bigger Pockets, that their residential real estate investing platform, and many others. This is our pilot episode today, so hope you take a listen and subscribe if you're interested in that kind of thing, kind of more deeply discussing the money topic versus the sneaker topic or the church theology topic. So Justice is hilarious. He's got a finance background, he's got an executive coaching background, and he works in real estate now too. And hopefully you know who I am, the guy that runs the Preachers and Sneakers account, who's an idiot and is trying to learn all these things along with you. So hope you enjoy this episode. I know it's a little different and maybe not what you came for, but hope you can learn something and also maybe get a laugh or two in. So head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. All that good stuff is super helpful as we start this new podcast. Also, make sure to follow Justice on Instagram at Justice Motivates. He's also got a podcast called the Under the Influence Podcast. So check all that out as well. Okay, enough of all that. Hope you enjoy the first ever episode of the Hidden Figures Podcast.
Are those in-ears?
Uh-huh.
Dude. God. You're on that next level.
I've had these for a while.
They're legit. Them, those are in-ears?
Yeah, I bought them when I led worship at the Stone. Not led worship. At
Dude, what's up, bro? What's your...
Not a great start.
I'm sorry, dude. Sorry. Tell me about it.
No, I'm not.
Tell me about it. When you led worship with the Stone, no. Who's the guy that's there that leads it that everyone says?
Aaron Ivey.
No, the other. There's like some other guy that they're like, oh yeah, he's like the Stone.
Aaron Ivey's the guy.
Is he the guy?
Jamie Ivey's husband.
What was it like leading there?
I shouldn't have even said that.
What'd you do?
I played drums.
Come on, man.
For the youth.
Tell me, are we recording this? Tell me it's happening.
Yes. Can I help you?
You're the assistant to the manager. Yeah, dude, back when I led worship in Austin Stone. You led worship in Austin Stone? Well, I played the drums. Oh, you played the drums? Yeah, for the youth.
And to think, you drove all the way up here.
Dude, you're the best. You are you. And that's what makes me
so
great.
Pumped to start another podcast.
Oh, gosh.
With Numbnuts himself. Justice Susan Marimi.
Oh.
This is the best.
Come on, man. Let's do it.
We're calling this the Hidden Figures podcast.
Yes.
And I did not come up with the name. Justice. And he let out with naming this podcast. To be clear. It's a podcast about money. The money we're missing out on because we don't know what we don't know.
No, dude, I remember it just so vividly when you said, dude, let's name it after those black women.
No.
Try to, like, let's take advantage of, like, the popularity of those black women.
It is not.
And I remember going, you sure? And you were like, yeah, dude, that movie did, like, so good. So well with the black audience, and I'm trying to grow my reach with the black audience. And I was like, if you say so, man,
exactly how it happened. This whole podcast was my idea. I've got all the time in the world another podcast.
I need to live record this on Instagram.
The name is Hidden Figures.
Yes.
With no connection to the movie.
No.
Or the subject matter.
No.
And we're here to talk about spending, saving, investing, giving.
Yes.
Life stage crap that we don't know about.
Yep.
And ultimately how to make money and feel good about it.
Yes.
Because the thing that we've been hearing over and over and over is that all of us want to make a bunch of freaking money for some reason.
Yep.
But we have no idea what to do with it or how to feel about it.
Yep.
So I guess, Justice, you can talk about maybe your financial background.
Yep.
And then maybe what led you to think about this idea for the podcast. And I will sit back and judge.
Judge me.
Judge you and do what I do best.
I love it. So the idea came when I have worked for Chase Bank. I got my Series 6, 63, which basically means I can help people get mutual funds. Most of your, like, Edward Jones, Liberty Mutual, the financial reps there are like 6 and 63 certified, and then insurance certified. So I did that for a little bit. I worked for Wells Fargo as well, just consolidating people's loans, et cetera, et cetera. And
sounds super interesting.
So I was really important, basically. Yeah. And I was making a lot of money.
Consolidating people's loans.
Yeah, it was great.
What city was that in?
Dallas. Actually, you know what? I wasn't making a lot of money, just to be clear. What was crazy about it was, this was 08. I graduated college. I started working for Wells Fargo Financial. We're consolidating loans. So it's people that have like a ton of debt in a lot of places. And we basically say, we're going to sell you a loan and we'll pull all your debt together. So you have one monthly payment that sometimes can be even like $400 per month less than what you're paying in all of them. So it was super awesome. One day I'm sitting there and a lady's like, hey, talking to my manager. One of the other employees is talking to the manager. Is like, hey, I couldn't get any of these other loans certified, but I think I can do an ARM loan. And that's the adjustable rate mortgage, which basically helped create the 08 crash. That was just the recession.
Jeez.
So I hear that and I was like, I didn't even know that this was what we were doing. And so I put in my 2 weeks notice, like shortly thereafter.
Oh, you immediately saw that there was an issue.
I was like, oh, so I never did an ARM loan, but it was part of like every major bank had, like Wells Fargo had Wells Fargo Financial. Chase had another arm that basically did these consolidation loans into different, basically, loans that you could do. One of them being, like, we could do an ARM loan for you. So, which is wrapping it into your house. An ARM loan will change. The interest rate will jump up after, like, 6 months based on where the market's at. So,
sounds terrible.
Oh, it was. That's what everyone got a loan. That's what happened is what we found in 08. Everyone that got a loan shouldn't have had a loan. And then when the interest jumped, they couldn't afford their payments, which means they foreclosed on their home. Therefore, we were in just a bad spot. So I did that for a little bit. Then I went and worked at Chase Bank for a little bit and just did some stuff there. But basically, that's where I got like a lot of my, I learned a lot about money. But the other side of it is I started coaching people. So I do business / life coaching, and I get these unbelievably talented men and women. And some of them are Christians, and a lot of the Christians really struggle with the idea of wanting to be wealthy. But they want to be wealthy, but they struggle feeling like, is it even okay? Like, is it okay that I want to like kill it? Like, I want to crush it.
Yeah.
And so I was actually coaching one young guy, complete stud. He works for a wealth management company. They really trust him because he's working super hard. He's doing a great job. They just gave him more money to manage. And he's just going like, I want to do even more to help this company grow and do all this other stuff. But is it bad that I want to achieve more?
Right.
That I want to do more. And I was like, man, would it be weird if LeBron James was like, I want to win more games. Like, I've been talented. I've been given all this athleticism. I've been given all these gifts, these talents. I'm really smart. But when I win, other people lose. Or when I win, like, it could make me seem like I am like being braggadocious or not being humble. And then I was like, dude, I've heard this enough with like people that I was like, we have all of these people who have these hidden desires for wealth, but they don't feel like they can talk about it in the church context. Like, they want to crush it. Mm-hmm. It's not like just like, yeah, I want to do really well, white picket fence. They're like, no, dude, I want to absolutely crush it. I want to give more, but I like things and I want to be able to provide more. I want to create a legacy. I want to create more for my grandkids. I want to do something really unique. I want to grow something to where it's really, really big. And I'm like, dude, that's amazing. But we got to start talking about it. And on the opposite end, I also coach people that aren't doing too hot because they don't have a roadmap. And so they're millennials who don't have someone in their life telling them, hey, this is how to grow your wealth. Like, this is how you do it. And so I coach these other guys that are doing really well in their 50s that are like, have done well. They've done really well. And it's because they had a mentor, someone in their life that gave them a roadmap, that gave them the keys to creating wealth. And so I'm like, man, what if we gave the keys to everybody, like to millennials? Like, what if we brought people in and we said, here are the keys. It's up to you to work hard, but like, you don't have to have this hidden feelings about money. Let's talk about it. And then if you want to grow, like, let's bring people on here who have done it in a great way and are doing great things, not just for their pocketbooks, but like for their employees. Like, if you think about it, I know I'm going to get passionate about it, but if you think about it, you start a company, it grows, it does really well. You hire employees. Now you're providing for them. Then you grow even bigger. You can provide healthcare. Now you're bringing healthcare for all these employees who are able to put food on their tables. Now you're doing all these things for this community and you're able to get, you can be more generous. You can give more. Not only that, but then you're paying taxes. So the taxes are going to our nation, to our government, that hopefully it's being spent well. And so a good business growing really well, or a person making more money, that isn't a bad thing. I think we should desire to do really, really well. And so that's where I was like, dude, let's do this.
But isn't that so easy to be like, yeah, I want to make more money and grow a business bigger so I can help the world and give more and pay more taxes? When in fact, like, we want a freaking lake house and a mountain house because it's comfy. And isn't that the real rub with Christians, where it's like, you don't want to do this because you want to give money.
Yes.
You just like nice stuff and you want to shroud this in spirituality. Isn't this like the same 100%. As God told me to break up with you? Like, I'm trying to picture the kind of guy that's like, I just want to crush it, but I don't know. I don't feel good about it. And your deal is like, no, it's okay to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But isn't there some form of heart issue that's behind? Like, for me, the reason I'm on this podcast at all, not just because of my outstanding platform, incredible, hilarious quips, and borderline genius when it comes to social and Christian commentary. But I'm also obsessed with money for better and mostly worse. And these are things that I think about all the time too. Like, I want to crush it, but when it comes deep down to it, I want to be going fly fishing all summer and have a beach house in Miami, I guess.
Yeah.
What's the distinction for you? Or like, how can somebody genuinely want to crush it in a completely pure way without it being like,
I think saying what you just said, I think like, I don't think we're giving people like the room to go out and crush it and make mistakes and then come back and go, yeah, I shouldn't have spent that money on that. Now I know. Like, go out and do it. Go out and crush it. Go and get that lake house and pay that extra money and go to it two times a year and realize, it is really hard to sell back because not everyone's looking can afford a lake house. So it's like, we don't afford people the opportunity to just go, yeah, and my intentions were good. Or why not have it? I'm like, go for it.
Because you could give it to the poor.
Yes. I know, which I think is the worst excuse ever for like not killing it.
Really?
Oh, I cannot stand that, like that excuse of like, but you could give it to the poor. Then give it to the poor. Whoever's like saying that, like, you give to the poor. It's like, if I'm creating a company, a business, I'm like keeping people from getting poor. If I'm killing it and I'm hiring people,
yeah,
I'm giving a job. I'm out there doing it. It's like, yeah, we can always give more to the poor. The poor will always be there.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't laugh about that. But yeah, I guess they always. Not us, though.
Dude. They will be there. They will be there.
But isn't that the same like bull about like buying a Cadillac? Like, well, I employed the people that made the Cadillac and I gave them the ability to buy groceries. Like, yes. There's a term for it. Like rich people justifying buying rich stuff because you keep 12 people employed.
Yeah. I don't think we need to justify it. I'm like, I don't need to justify me going out and killing it and doing well and like going out and stewarding my gifts at creating money well. I don't need to justify it. I just need to go out and do my thing. If I ever feel like I need to justify it, then that's on me, but I'm not going to justify. I'm like, I want to go out there. I want to make a ton of money.
Why though?
When I think back to like my parents moved here from Kenya. My grandpa sold a good chunk of land so that my mom and my dad could move here.
Wow. And then, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then my mom and my dad like scraped and saved and did everything they could while they're both going to school so that we could go. And we were on free and reduced lunch up until like seventh grade.
Jeez.
And like they did all this stuff. And I'm like, you did all that? Like, unless God tells me to go be a missionary somewhere like
in
Africa, I'm going to freaking crush it. Like all of that sacrifice so that I can be like, yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, just try and like not be too poor and not be too rich.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm gonna work as hard as I can to honor the Lord with the gifts that he's given me. And my identity's not in my wealth. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not working hard so that I can prove myself to some kind of person.
Yeah.
I'm going, nah, man, I'm really good at what I do. And because I'm really good at what I do, I'm going to charge the right amount of money for it. And that's going to afford me some awesome opportunities. And at the same time, I'm going to be able to do some really cool stuff for other people. But the core of it, I want to steward these gifts unbelievably well. And I do want to be wealthy. I totally do. And I'm going to make a bajillion mistakes on the way there. Like I'm going to waste money. There are going to be places where I waste money. It's without a doubt. There's going to be things that I do that are going to be unbelievable.
Isn't there some, I mean, people will bring up Jesus's lifestyle then, and then talk about the camel through the eye of a needle thing, like where Jesus warns like, look, mother fricker, it's hard for a rich person to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Like, isn't there some amount of wisdom that says, I want to avoid playing in that water altogether?
Oh,
do you find that? Wanting to generate a bunch of wealth brings on extra freaking risk.
Yeah. I think it's, if you're in the game of going out and saying, I want to be wealthy, you better be super close to the Lord because it is harder because it's hard to be dependent on someone when you think you can provide everything for yourself. The times where I was not doing well financially, but still working hard, I was on my knees praying and like, Lord, show up. I need this thing to go through. I need this deal to go through. Yeah. I need this person to like trust me with this responsibility so that I can make another deal. I need this other loan to go through. Like, I need this stuff to make. Like, I need this sale to hit. Like, by this quarter so I look good for my boss so that like I can have new responsibilities at work. Like I definitely was. And wealth can get in the way of that, like dependency on the Lord. But I think the people that I look at that I'm in awe of are these wealthy guys out there that are just as passionate for Jesus as somebody that's not.
How do you do that though? Because the moment that I'm the moment I start to count my pennies and say, man, we're doing all right. We're doing pretty good. I am so far from being like, God, I depend on you today to keep me alive and to like continue our family's legacy. Like the moment I'm like, oh, we've actually got a pretty good amount of money in the bank. And then, oh, we've got a house and oh, our cars are almost paid off. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. We're doing pretty good for ourselves. I'm never or rarely thinking like, you know, it's because God has sustained us today.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a unique case where it's like you're super secure in your faith and also super secure in making money? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people will find out on their road to like wealth that like where their identity lies. And like they're going to find out like this whole time wealth and money was an idol.
Yeah.
And like the only time I prayed to the Lord was when I needed it. And so I was worshiping God and I was worshiping money at the same time.
Right.
And as soon as the money came, I stopped worshiping God. So I was more worshiping money than anything else. But I think that comes back to like, man, you got to give yourself grace on your journey to like trying to create wealth. Like it's like you're still trying to figure it out. And I think if you have the right people around you, the right mentors, the right community, the right church, like hopefully people are at some place, not necessarily holding you accountable, but being like, dude, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, like, but at the same time, like if we knew, like there are some unbelievable people that absolutely love Jesus and are killing it wealth.
Yeah.
Like, they're killing it. And so often we won't talk to these people because we think they're unapproachable. We think they're whatever, but they love talking about it, but they don't feel like they can because they're one of a few.
Yeah. I always find it funny how people will vilify rich people when in fact we're all trying to be rich people.
Yes.
Like deep down, like, yes, we don't want to, a lot of people are against like big corporations and freaking exploiting low wage workers for their own wealth. But deep, deep down, there's maybe like 12 people out there that are like, yeah, I genuinely just want to help the poor.
Yeah.
Like the majority of us are working in a job, hoping that we can save and a little bit extra so that we can hopefully retire. Like the whole goal of retirement is like, I want to be rich enough to where I don't have to work. Yet we're also going to vilify Bezos and Gates for being like, mega wealthy. It. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's doing the thing that I actually really want to do.
Yeah.
But how could he? He could give that money to the poor.
Dude, I'm
such an exhausting circular
thought
pattern. But also I get it. Like what do you say? Most people aren't in the position where they could say, yeah, I want to consider building wealth. It's like, I'm trying to pay my rent.
Yep.
Pay my car note.
Yep.
I'm trying to freaking put food on my table. Like the single mothers out there in the world, I doubt are considering, yeah, what are strategies for building wealth?
Right.
I guess I just question, like, isn't it such a like seat of privilege to say, I'm going to spend my time thinking about how to generate wealth when there's millions of people out there that are just living paycheck to paycheck?
Yes. I think it is a privilege. It's a privilege I want. Dude, I do.
We lost all of our listeners.
I don't care, dude. I want privilege. Like, look. The most of the wealthy people I meet are also the most generous people I meet. And I think that there's a tie there. Are there some wealthy people that are just greedy and whatever? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the people that have helped me that are wealthy and they are like unbelievably generous.
Yeah.
Like whatever church you go to, there was some donor that gave way more than the average donor.
Yeah.
And
or that represents like 80% of tithes for that organization.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't say it's not a church, say it's some nonprofit charity to the homeless. I guarantee you there's some wealthy donor that bought the facilities, that bought the beddings, that bought the stuff. Like, and when things are in a pinch, those nonprofit leaders are going to one or two people and saying, we're in a pinch.
Yeah.
Like, I need some help.
Why? If that's such a great and holy place to be in, why are there so few people like that? Like, if God was like, this is the best place to be a puzzle piece for the kingdom to benefit all these people, why is there so few people that are actually in that position to do it? Like, why are the majority of us living an average ass lifestyle where we can only really like maybe tithe 10%?
Right. Right.
I don't freaking know.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I have that figured out. I am like, just to be clear, like I am on my road to like trying to figure this whole thing out. I'm in no way like wealthy, but I have seen it and I have talked to the people that have attained it. And there's like a pretty common thread. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with it's hard work. Like it costs you time with your family. There are real sacrifices and it's okay if you don't want to make those sacrifices.
Right.
Like it's okay if you're going, yeah, I wanted to be with my family more. So I wasn't like crazy wealthy. It's like, and I think a part of it comes down to like understanding, like if you're a believer, you're wealthy. And it's not like some name it and claim it thing. It's like, dude, your salvation got paid for. You have the best relationship in the world. Like you are ridiculously supernaturally wealthy. Like you have no right to be where you're at. Like you didn't work to get there. Like you're unbelievably privileged in your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it comes back to you understanding that whether how much is in your bank account, you are wealthy.
Yeah. No, I'm sure a lot of the Christians in Syria definitely think that they're wealthy for sure. No, I think like the underground church in China, they're probably really like just sitting in the anointing saying, thank you, God, for making us so spiritually wealthy.
I bet they
while
are.
Justice in Dallas and air conditioning, Wi-Fi are just going after their purpose.
Yes.
Building wealth so that they can donate.
Yes.
The 1040 windows, like, thank you, God.
Yes.
Thank you for this spiritual wealth.
Dude.
While Justice is eating his double cheese and dogfish head beer, just going after his favor.
Done. I guarantee you they, like, dude, I've been to these places where, like, dude, my dad's a missionary. And if you go to these desert tribes where they're building wells for them. And
where's the missionary?
Kenya, Turkana.
Sounds made up.
It actually does.
But it's a real place.
It's a real place. It's like this desert tribe of people. And they serve some people in southern Sudan. Like, I think they have a better idea of the wealth that they have than we do. Like, you've been on these mission trips and, like, they receive Christ and they're like, I have it all.
Yeah.
I have it all. And it's, like, amazing because they have this understanding. And I think that's why, and I can't speak for the people in Syria, but, like, I think that's why they, like, the cost there is so great to, like, following Jesus. But I think they go, I have the greatest prize. I am wealthy. Like, I have this thing. And I think in America, because we have so much, we forget how wealthy we are.
Right.
So we actually adopt this poverty mindset of, like, I don't have enough.
Yeah.
Or I don't have what I need. When it's actually like, no, you're really, really wealthy.
Yeah.
Take away the financial whatever, because you still are on that end. Like, on a spiritual level, you're wealthy. And I think if we operated from that place, we'd spend our money wiser. We'd invest it wiser. We'd ask better questions. And then we'd go, look at what we have that the rest of the world doesn't have. How do we like 10X this? Like
Grant Cardone called.
How do we 5X this?
It's more like it.
Is there anyone with a 5X book?
5X seems a little more humble.
Yeah, let's. How do we 20X this thing?
That is so stupid.
So, yeah.
So I guess,
this thing?
Right. So there's 7 billion people in the world and there's like 100 million people that have air conditioning in their house and should go after their goals. Like freaking Aggie Boy Numbnuts in Dallas should really be working on how he can build his wealth while there's
Yes.
4.5 billion people that don't even have clean water.
Yes, you are proving the point. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all, but also, like, buy the lake house.
Yes.
Because you worked hard.
Why not?
I guess because there's 4.5 billion people that are still starving.
Yeah, and if you buy the lake house, there's still people that are going to starve.
Yeah, but that's a pretty defeatist.
So should we gauge how much we give based on how much poverty there is in the world?
I don't know.
Or how much we can enjoy things?
I don't know, because it seems like a slippery slope.
Wow. It's not slippery at all. It's a lake house. You just buy it if you have the money.
Right. I guess you have to decide how much you're willing to give versus how much you feel good about.
Yeah. Dude.
I want freaking nice stuff.
Dude, we should
I'm just trying to provide the argument. I don't know. There's this book right here, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger. It's tough because I think a lot of Christians, I'll have to find the data, most Christians don't give. Like the majority of churches, 20% of the congregation does like 80% of the giving.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of Christians need to sacrifice a little more. If you're like me at all, this quarantine has been kind of a bummer. And I've really been looking for ways to improve my thought life, improve my time meditating and reading. And I found that the Upper Room Daily Devotional Guide has been a huge help. So if you check out the Upper Room, you can count on them for daily inspiration, daily community, and daily prayer. It's really the only daily devotional magazine that's written by readers, ordinary people like me, people who have encountered God in daily situations. The Upper Room is here for you every day through your email, a custom app, or a printed magazine. And you too can enjoy a free 30-day trial of the email or app service by visiting upperroom.org/welcome. That's upperroom.org/welcome to get your first 30 days free. Check it out.
Yeah, that's great. They definitely should. I'm just not going to be the one to say, like, you're not giving enough. I'm going to go work hard and give more.
Right.
But I'm not going to let people's poverty keep me from having nice things. Like, I've been there. I've been poor. And the Lord says, give more money than is really comfortable. And yeah. I did it because the Lord said to do it.
Yeah. So it's like, he always says to do that.
Yeah. It's like, he's also been like, yeah, go enjoy this.
Hmm.
So like, man, if you're at a place where you feel bad about getting nice things, like, check in with the Lord. But like, you can have nice things. If you don't have a peace about it, then like, wait.
Right. The tough part is like determining if it owns you or not.
Right.
Because that's the thing, at least for me, all I can speak about is my experience, is like, this kind of stuff can own me. Like the obsession about getting a house or getting a Jeep or getting a freaking funding the 401k or something. That can easily own me. Yeah. And so like, you're speaking from a place where you feel pretty secure and confident. We're like, look, I've been poor.
Yeah.
I'm still poor.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you should see what he's wearing right now, like patches. This is like the only guy in Dallas that has patches on his freaking shorts.
You suck.
Anyways, I'm just saying, for me, it's hard for me to understand a place where it's like, I'm just so good with the amount I give and the amount I serve that I'm also super secure in having a lake house and feeling great about it.
Yeah.
I feel some form of guilt whenever I have a nice thing.
That sucks for you. Sorry, dude. That's on you, man.
Well, I also operate in the freaking public, like, court of judgment by all the freaking keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
I am one of the keyboard warriors. No, I get
it. Yeah, you are. You are. You are. But you're a real warrior.
I am.
You are. You are. You are. You are a real warrior. Without a doubt.
I cannot wait until...
Uh-huh.
People are going to find out.
Real quick.
Call me a keyboard warrior one more freaking time.
Watch it be every comment on your next Instagram post after this thing releases. It's like keyboard warrior.
Dude, I wish y'all would catch me in the streets. I would choke slam.
Oh yeah. Come on. What would you do?
No.
Come on, tell it. Let it out.
No, I mean, no, it's fine if you want to call me a keyboard warrior.
I think there is way more that goes into stewarding what he's given you really, really well.
Yeah.
and not feeling bad about it. And then when God says give, you give. And when he doesn't say give and you still give, you're trying to replace him.
This is one of the things I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. It's like, why on earth are we, like, why are we allowed to have such comfy ass lives while there are millions and millions of people that literally live in like abject poverty? That's one thing I don't know.
But do you want the answer to that? Like, do you really want to know? Like, why? Like, do you want to know?
I mean, it would be helpful to
do what? You don't want
to understand. No. To understand why there's so many people that live in poverty, no, and I like get to be the one that's so anointed to have air condition and freaking Wi-Fi.
I think it's amazing that we get these things, and we actually get to affect those people more when we either walk out in obedience if God says to give, or if he says to go, and then advocating for the organizations that are doing a great job of meeting the need.
Yeah.
But like, I can give more money when I make more money.
Right.
And a lot of times, I have a lot of friends in the nonprofit world. A lot of times what they need is to know that they're going to make budget.
Right.
They just need to know that they're going to be able to pay their team. And they're doing amazing work. They just need people to kind of hold the ropes as they go down to the places that, like, not a lot of people want to go.
Yeah.
And so I'll hold the ropes. I'll advocate for the nonprofits I believe in. And I'll help you like meet budget by giving as much as I feel comfortable doing or as much as God tells me to do.
And for whatever reason, he has put us in this freaking position.
Yeah.
Like we don't know the, like, it is hard to understand God's intent and strategy for all this stuff. All we know is that we do get to sit here in this position where we can build wealth and help others.
Yeah.
I will still ask that when I get to heaven about why we were here and all these other people live in dirt. But you're right. Like, we shouldn't table our position.
No.
Like, it's such a, like, we're making a podcast, which just obviously makes us in a privileged and rich position. But for whatever reason, we are in this position. And so we should strive to help others that way, but also in a sustainable way. Not some where you sell everything.
Like, give me an example.
And give one time.
Yeah.
Give you an example. Oh, like where you do the like Jesus freak thing where you sell everything, give it all away. And now what are you to the, like you can add zero value except you going to like raise support from other rich people so that you can go on a mission trip. So either way, it's either you creating the wealth and the money to be on mission, or you're going to go raise from people that did it better than you.
Yeah.
Or that have family money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I love family money. I hope to be a person that produces family money.
Family money pisses me off so much. I have so many friends that are like, yeah, I mean, we got cars and houses gifted to us.
Yeah.
And you just don't even have to worry about that. Yeah. Like, we're busting our all the time just to be able to like make mortgage.
Isn't that cool though?
Like, no, it's not cool because it didn't happen to us.
Exactly. See, that's a problem. Like, people get upset because it didn't happen to them. And then they go, instead of going, what an awesome opportunity. I didn't think that was even possible. I want to do that for my children. All three of my kids. I hope they like, I can help them buy their first cars. I hope that I can help pay for their weddings. Like, if they marry like someone whose family can't afford the wedding, I hope I can come in and be like, we've got this. Don't even worry about it. Yeah. We're super excited. Like, I look at that stuff and I go, wow, cool. Dude, look at the people that move here from other countries that are poor. So many of them, they get here and they're so thankful and they want to build a business. They want to create wealth for their families. Like, it's amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah. And they crush it.
And they crush it because they know what they have. So they're like, I'm not going to waste my life. Like, I came over here. We sacrificed so much moving from India, China, Africa, wherever. And like, they go out and they crush it.
Yeah.
Think of how many Chinese restaurants there are that have been around for like multiple years. Do you know how hard it is to start and run a restaurant? Yet we see these Chinese, Indian restaurants that have been around for years and years. That's like beating the odds 100 times over. And they're doing it. Because they're like, I'm here. I made it. I'm going to go out and crush it. And they're building wealth for their family. Then you see their kids, and their kids are out there working and managing these restaurants, and they're driving nice cars, and they get to do all these really awesome things. I had a friend in high school whose parents moved here from India. They bought some property. They opened up a hotel. And now he's just like, him and his brothers run the hotel. They're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
They were driving really nice cars in high school. And it was like, dude, that's so cool. Someone gave up a lot for that.
And they didn't fleece anybody. They didn't take advantage of anybody.
Yeah,
they
that
just
I know of.
Right. They just provided a service or a product that was helpful.
Yep.
And like, shouldn't you be able to make money from doing that?
Oh my gosh. And I bet they're looking at their kids and going, you better 20X that.
20X. Just set your goals.
And 20X,
20X it.
Ask yourself this question. What would happen if I 20X this?
Yeah. What would have happened if you set aside fear and worry and just crushed it?
I'm getting pumped just listening to you talk.
20X.
Yeah. Do you have a secret desire to be like one of those guys?
Like a guru? Like a YouTube ad guru?
Yeah.
No. I would love to have a Lambo and a couple freaking mansion houses that you could film those videos in.
That you rent for the day?
Yeah. But I don't want to. That is the most. That pisses me off. Like, hey, I could sell you a course, 20 ways to get rich. It's just going to be $300 a month. So you're going to get rich off of trying to teach me how to get rich. You're literally doing the thing that is going to make you rich.
Do you feel like that's a part of the reason why people have like this partially like negative view? Cause they're like, I don't want to be that guy.
Well, it's very mainstream to hate on rich people. Yet rich people employ the most people, give the most.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there's negative things about like how they influence political policy and stuff, but it's very on trend to shit on people that have crushed it.
Yeah.
And so like when you put the numbers up, like over the past 10 years, 1% have gained $60 trillion in wealth while the bottom 75%.
Right.
Like, I don't know about those numbers, but I feel zero type of way about Jeff Bezos. I mean, Jeff Bezos has improved my life. I mean, he has given me hours and hours and hours and hours of my life.
Oh my gosh, the convenience that man has created.
Like, yes, maybe you disagree with how he treats his workers and how like hardcore they are in their warehouses, but there's no denying that if you live in like a metropolitan city, at least that dude has given you hours and hours of your life back, and it's your fault for wasting it.
Yeah.
So like you could be reading or learning a skill with all those hours, but you're just watching Netflix. So it should be you that you're mad at, not freaking Bezos for giving you all this time.
No.
Like,
do you remember before Amazon what we did?
I mean, we went to Blockbuster.
We went to bookstores.
We went to bookstores. We went to Walmart. We drove to the next city to go to the mall.
Did.
And for what?
We did.
Like, within like 8 seconds, I had a pizza ordered and ready in 20 minutes from like a craft pizza place.
Yep.
And I had 4 books delivered within like 6 hours.
Yes.
Before, you had to put clothes on, you had to drive to a place, park, go look around, ask the person where the thing is, buy it, come back. Like, and
they
you're
didn't
pissed.
Want to help you. They didn't want to help you find
it. They didn't want to help you at all because they're working an hourly job.
The bookstore employee was so annoyed by your book selection.
Books a million. Hey, where is the Halo illustrated novel? Sir, are you really asking me what his Halo themed novel is?
And he knows exactly where it is because 15 other people that look just like you came in and asked for it right before you came in.
Yeah, do you have the new Joel Osteen book? I'm like, yes. It's in the inspiration
self-improvement
aisle. Self-improvement. So like, yeah, I mean, we have countless hours back. So I feel no angst towards Bezos because he is just adding value over 20X. And over and over.
20X value.
But like, yes, he's on his way to becoming a trillionaire, or Amazon is becoming a $1 trillion company. And they're like, of course you wish these dudes would give $40 billion to end world hunger or something, but also like, check your own self.
Yeah.
Like, are you giving proportionately that amount? Like,
yeah.
I doubt it.
I, Could you imagine?
Yeah. So I did a poll on breeches and sneakers because I was very curious about this, about what people wanted to know about money and making money. And I think you're right. A lot of us feel guilt about wanting to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But you're in a place where it says you can have both. And we want to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Where it says, look, I feel compelled to give to the poor, to serve others, to serve my church, to like sacrificially give because I'm a believer.
Yeah.
But also not to the point, but like I can also build generational wealth where my family's set up, where I can give more to people.
Yes.
And feel like it's a, like an act of worship to steward. Like this is a, like a very careful thing, like a line to kind of straddle, saying like, I want to steward this opportunity and do it for the glory of God versus I want to steward the opportunity and build a bunch of wealth and shroud my like hoarding wealth as a Christianese type thing.
Yep.
So I did a poll on Preachers and Sneakers about things that you all wanted to learn about. And we plan on tackling all these things. So like there's maybe 5 or 6 different categories that I got maybe – I probably got 300 or 400 responses, but the things that came up the most were like investing, about like basically comparing your life stage versus your peers. Like, is everyone investing but me?
Yeah.
How to invest wisely, how to actually find freaking investments, investing with low money, or if you don't have a freaking rich family that just feeds cheese into your checking account, saving, like how to budget with a low income, how to actually have self-control. What's like an okay amount to like want or need? Like, how much do I actually need in life? Like, is it 75,000 or is it 200,000? What's a good balance to have in savings? Somebody said how to not buy stupid just to impress others. Like in Dallas, this is something I imagine that person's from Dallas because that's all we do over here. Let's see. Is completely ignoring Dave Ramsey because the Lord led us to a house a good idea? You must be friends with Justin. Yeah, I just really feel like the Lord was leading us to buy this 6-7 in Highland Park, 5,500 square feet. I just like
really open layout.
Yeah, really. I mean, new cabinets.
New cabinets.
Island.
The back patio.
Back patio.
Just
outdoor
done.
Kitchen. Infinity pool.
Yeah.
Just the Lord, you know, we just want to bless others.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
By having a bonus room and a basement.
Yeah. I mean, when the missionaries come in town, we want to be able to say,
yeah,
like,
we
want to
say, missionaries, come on over. Enjoy the pool table. Enjoy the kegerator. Enjoy the wine cellar. I mean, we've got wines from Bordeaux to Pinot Noirs. Yeah, we'll have a good time with that because,
dude,
I guarantee you the Lord did not lead you to buy a 6-7, 5,000 square foot house.
Dude, listen to this. This is the craziest thing. So my dad, missionary, we had no money, but they wanted to take us on vacation. There was this extremely successful business guy who bought homes in Colorado and let missionaries stay in them for free for their vacations. And we stayed in them. And they were baller, like pools in the house.
Oh, congrats. You let missionaries use it once a year.
No,
so you could justify buying a freaking mountain house in Colorado.
Dude, we had this experience that I'll never forget when we were broke.
It was just so anointed of him to
buy that
mountain house in Colorado.
I'm gonna do it.
Just buy the mountain house and say you wanted the mountain house.
He had like
don't
six.
Use it as a freaking Pine Cove 2.0. Like,
ooh.
Yeah, we just wanna just bless people. Even though we're going to use it for the majority of the year.
They didn't. They had their own.
They had their own.
Oh, for sure. If you got 6 or 7, you don't think you got one for yourself.
Just so spiritually pure. He was just like.
We loved it. Our family was so thankful that he did this.
I mean, I can't argue with that.
And there were tons of other missionary families around that were just like, we can't believe we get this.
Must be nice to be a missionary family. When you're a doctor's family, you didn't get any of those invites. How to build credit. What's the point of a credit score?
To buy a house.
A credit score is pointless. How TF do I do my taxes? I still don't understand taxes. Contentment. That's something I can't speak to at all because I'm never content. Can I use a credit card or no? This is the thing.
Some of these people feel so ashamed.
These people, I mean, including myself, have been so indoctrinated in Dave Ramsey world. Now, granted, there's no taking away from Dave Ramsey's track record.
Awesome guy.
Well, he's just allowed, he's coached people on how to pay off debt.
And they paid off tons of debt.
You can't, like.
Amazing.
Like Lil Wayne says, women lie, men lie, but numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah.
Like, Dave Ramsey allowed a lot of people to get out of debt. But what he rarely talks about is stewardship, kind of your heart behind. Yeah, like he talks about you can stay out of debt and build wealth so you can live and give like nobody else. But he doesn't really get into like the practical steps in
building it,
but also the heart behind the money you keep and the money, like the things you buy. Yeah. Like he's like, look, if you give a ton, you can buy your freaking Ford Raptor. And maybe you can buy your Ford Raptor. But I think a lot of people need to work through the like initial guilt of, or like they need to work through the tactics and how to build wealth, but also the tactics in how to get their heart right around money.
Yeah.
Cause we all have a lot of, clearly not you, but no, I have awesome. A lot of heart issues to work through with money. So yeah. I think that'll be a viable discussion. Everyone seems to have credit card points. Should I be doing that? I mean, maybe like we can talk about it, I guess. Like, you're probably talking to friends that are consultants that fly every week. And like, yeah, I did it on points.
That's probably true.
If you're really that concerned about airline points, like you just need to be focused on building wealth and then you won't care about the airline points.
Yeah.
But like my whole deal is like Dave Ramsey is hardcore. Like you're going to forget to pay off your credit card. So you should never use a credit card for the points. But if you're disciplined enough to pay off your freaking credit card, why not just have the points?
I saw some, you can set it to auto pay from your bank account at the end of each month. I know people that lived off their credit cards and then had an extra $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah. But also if you're rich, what's $2,000 or $3,000 to spend? So I get both sides of it. How to trust God with your finances. Let's just over spiritualize everything. Giving good stewardship while also saving for the future. Someone said, holding massive charities more accountable in a real way. Well, I can guarantee you justice is not looking to hold massive charities more accountable in a real way.
Yeah.
Justice just wants everybody to be rich. The nerve of this guy.
I know. Terrible.
How to evaluate if charities are worthy to give to. Is debt something the church should help alleviate? Isn't it just economic slavery? Like, I get the nuance where it's like, if you're a single mother and you're desperate and you just had to rack up credit card debt, that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
But to expect the church to be like, part of our ministry is just to pay off everyone's debt. There's some amount of accountability for yourself.
No. And honestly, like, one of the cool things that you can do is, like, you can partner with Financial Peace University and host a thing in your church to help people get pay off debt.
Yep.
I was a part of that. It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, both of us paid off a bunch of debt using FPU. Let's see. I made a category for life stage-ish. This is a question I have all the time. How is everyone affording the house and the cars?
Dude.
Like, how are my friends buying $800,000 houses and driving two Yukons with three kids and also going to Telluride twice a year on vacation and freaking Seaside? Like, that's something I hope we get into about.
Dude, we should talk about it. I love that one.
I hate it. I mean, it just makes me so mad because I feel like I'm behind.
I think a lot of people feel like they're behind. I think it's amazing.
Another good philosophical question. Why don't people talk about how much they make? Where did that unspoken rule come from?
HR.
Yeah, one too many lawsuits. Like, better not talk about your freaking salary.
You can't. If Larry finds out we do the same thing, but you make 10K, he makes 10K less.
You got to burn this place to the ground.
Larry has anger issues already.
That's a good point.
That came from HR documents.
Let's see. Why are some people defensive about how they spend? Why people worry so much about what other people do with theirs? All right. Y'all were throwing shade at me.
Good. Good for you.
No.
That's a good question.
Other people asked about how to build generational wealth. Is that a righteous pursuit? How to monetize anything. Okay, so like the making money, the building a business thing is something I care a ton about. Like how to monetize anything without ripping people off. A lot of people I've found, at least that are followers of mine, struggle with charging people a fair amount and feeling like they deserve it.
You got a lot of like photographers or what?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people that follow me are photographers, graphic designers, people that like freelance essentially.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have a tough time charging. Like I've done this. I mean, I've felt this before, like being a douchey wedding DJ. It's like, I always feel like I'm underpricing myself, yet I feel like a dick for saying, yeah, this is going to be $3,000.
Right.
So,
I'd love to talk about that one.
Yeah. That'd be, How to ask for get a bigger raise.
That's, I would love to talk about that.
So this is, yeah.
That's huge. I think that's one of the bigger things that's holding people back.
The thing I tell people all the time is like, you're definitely not going to get what you don't ask for.
Yeah.
So I think that's a worthy conversation to have. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here. The point of this podcast is to talk about the, not only the methods and the tactics for gaining money and building generational wealth, but also growing a secure heart and a good worldview about why you're doing what you're doing and being secure and like having nice things. Like for whatever reason, God has allowed us to be in America and be alive, yeah, and be in a space where we can make podcasts and have iPhones and freaking, you know, have pizza delivered, that kind of thing. So yes, there's a philosophical discussion about why we exist versus the people that are in Syria living in abject poverty. But
right,
we're here to talk about not only how to make money, but also how to feel good about,
yeah,
making money.
I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah. So this was, we'll call this episode one of the Hidden Figures podcast. It was worth about as much as I paid for you to be here, as per usual. Justice Marimi, I'm Preach McSneak. And until next time, we'll have a catchy slogan later on, but anything else to add?
No, I'm fired up. Good. Good. Good ending.
Shut up.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode of the Hidden Figures podcast. If you liked it, head on over to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button, leave us a rating, maybe write us a review. Check us out on Instagram at the Hidden Figures podcast, as well as on Twitter at the HF Pod. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to keep an eye out for the next episode of the Hidden Figures podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save